Now hear the word of God, as it is written in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the age has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. This is the word of God.
Well, I'd always encourage you to open your Bibles. It's just lovely to see you all here again as we work our way through 1 Corinthians, an amazing book. And it's touching on so many issues that you and I battle with today. Well, we're in chapter 10 this morning, and we're going to cover verse 1 to verse 14, the danger of overconfidence. I'm not too sure how many of you may remember a few years ago reading in your Natal Mercury of a story about a lady by the name of Grace Wiley. Let me refresh your memories just for a minute. Grace Wiley was a different sort of a lady. She had a great, great passion and love for her pets. Her pets were everything to her. She gave them everything, and her whole life revolved around them. The only strange thing about Grace Wiley was that her pets were very, very poisonous snakes. Incredibly venomous in every way. But she would play with them, and she gained a lot of attention to herself as people came on a regular basis to her. People would come and photograph Grace Wiley with her snakes. And then one day, of course, it happened. She is playing with her pets, and out she brought this very, very dangerous cobra. And from whatever caused it, we're not sure, but the cobra certainly posed and began to weave and struck Grace Wiley. She was bitten by the most dangerous one she had. She straightaway reached for the needle that she had always kept next to her just in case it happened. But when she reached for the needle, it had gone rusty. Because she hadn't checked it, she hadn't looked after it. It just lay there for months on a time, and when she came to inject herself, it didn't work. So she died 1 hour and 30 minutes later in hospital. That's a true story. You see, she would get up every day and play with something dangerous. She said, "It'll never happen to me. Everything's going to be okay." And you know, my brothers and sisters, this morning, as you and I continue just to work through Corinthians, we come to a passage That's a passage of warning. There are certain passages in the Bible that warn us. They come and they say to us, be careful. They come and they say to us, be on your guard. Because if you don't listen to them, you're going to get hurt. And you're going to get damaged. So let me share those with you this morning. Paul, as you have seen over the last couple of months since we've been in Corinthians, is such a passionate and pastoral man. So before he gives you the negative, he always begins by reminding us of the great blessings that you and I enjoy as Christians. And in verse 1 to verse 5, we limited a bit for time here today, so I'm not going to read them. Don read them to us, but you'll follow them on your outline here. If you and I have to say, what are the enormous blessings that you and I face? Once you've committed your life to Jesus, once the Lord Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, what do we enjoy on an ongoing basis? Well, the first thing he tells us is that we have guidance. And he's going to compare us to what happened to the people of God when they were taken out of Egypt, you remember, and then they went down to the bottom at Mount Sinai, and then they had to wander through the desert. It says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, and they drank the same spiritual drink. It was all like that. And when they needed to know where to go, you remember, there was the cloud. And when the cloud moved, they moved. They were not to go one scrap, not one centimeter, without God guiding them. And then at night, the cloud of fire to guide them through the evening. God guided His people. It's no different to you and to me. Once you become a Christian, with all the big decisions we are called to make, God guides us. Should I change my jobs? Where should we live? Should I immigrate to England? What should I do here? What should I do there? Where should I invest my money? All the things that we, on an ongoing basis, the wonderful thing for you and I is we can turn to our Father and He says, I'll show you. The second great thing is deliverance. Again, He reminds them of what happened to their forefathers. Remember, God delivered them out of bondage in Egypt. They were there for hundreds of years. They were incredibly badly treated. And through nothing of themselves, they came through. And straight away, they hit the Red Sea. Now, how were they going to get across the Red Sea? It was impossible for 2.5 to 3 million people to get across the Red Sea. But God. And God caused the waters to part so that the Israelite people went across the Red Sea and the waters banked up on the right and on the left. He hardened the riverbed and they went through. It was an amazing miracle. Later on, when the Egyptians came, it closed down on them and they drowned. But you see, for the people of God, there was not only guidance, but there was amazing deliverance. The third thing is they were given assurance in verse 2. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They came to the point where they were absolutely and totally surrendered to the Lord in their lives. And not only that, friends, but number 4, they were sustained. 2.5 million people. They got every day they got food, and every night they got water. They were told where to go because God sustained them. Now, you know, in the times in which you live, these are wonderful things. It's not true for everybody, but it is true for those who know and who love the Lord Jesus. There are the things that God did. Guidance. Deliverance. Assurance. Sustenance. Now look at the next verse. Nevertheless. Isn't that terrible to read? Nevertheless. While God had been so incredibly kind, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered all over the desert. So let us have a look, secondly, at what caused these people to fail. How many came out of Egypt? 3 million. How many of the people who came out of Egypt above the age of 20 got into the promised land? How many got in? 2. Only 2. Who were they? Yes, only Joshua and Caleb. What happened to the rest? The rest all died in the desert over the next 40 years. An entire generation. Friends, an entire generation of people died. Why? What did they do wrong? What caused this to happen? Well, notice that there were 5 things, and these are warnings to us today. The first thing is in verse 5 and verse 6 is lust. He says, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. So what was the first cause? Lust. They lusted and wanted and craved for things that God said you cannot have. It was the reason. And so for them, you will remember, you laugh when you read that passage, but as they have been amazingly delivered out of Egypt, they've been delivered through the Red Sea, and they start heading through the desert, you remember they started to complain. And they said, we're sick of this food. We're tired of this. We want to go back to what it was like in the past. We miss the onions. And we miss the garlic. And we miss the pomegranates. Yeah, folks, I don't like any of those things. But they loved those things. They said, we just want what was in the past. And I want to tell you, if I may, there are many people that say they've given their lives to Jesus Christ and they go back. And they fall. Why? Because they want the things that used to drive their lives in the past before they became Christians. Paul is saying to these Corinthians, be careful. Number 2, idolatry. Idolatry. You see what he says there? Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. The most horrific thing that you will remember that happened to them, of course, was they got all their gold, they put it together, and they made this golden calf. And they bowed down and worshipped it. Now I know today that none of you will do that. But you know, our society does have their idols. People bow down and they worship their money, or they worship their sport, or they worship their job, or they worship their home, or they worship their family above Christ. My dear friends, there is to be nothing, nothing, and no one in this world that means as much to us as Jesus does. Anything else is an idol. And he says, be careful. Be very, very careful. Remember, only 2 of that generation that walked out of Egypt got into the promised land. The rest failed. And they died along the road. Because of lust. Because of idolatry. The third reason is because of fornication. He says in verse 8, we should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. One day. Because of sexual immorality. Now you look at our society, if I may say that to you, it's a sex-saturated society. people sleep with their boyfriend or their girlfriend before marriage. Girls are walking down the aisle to get married and they are no longer virgins. Is that right? Friends, it's wrong. It's a sin. You should never, ever have any sex with anybody before marriage. That's what the Bible says. Within a marriage, you have sex with your husband and your wife. That's it. They said, hey God, you're spoiling our fun. We want sexual immorality. 23,000 died in one day. Because it's serious. It's serious. You can think of some of the top Christians in the past. And straight away as I'm saying it to you, your mind's going wild. I'm not going to name them, you know them. And they've fallen. Why? Because of sexual sin. So what is the passage saying to us? It's saying, Christians, be careful. These are warning lights. Be careful of lust. Be careful of idolatry. Be careful of fornication. And number four, be careful of tempting Christ. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did in verse 9 and were killed by snakes. We mustn't test Him, friends, if we claim to be children of God. And then number 5, we must be careful of grumbling or murmuring, verse 10. See? And do not grumble, as some of them did, and they were killed by the angel. What did they say? They complained about Moses. They complained about Aaron. They complained about the way. They complained about the leaders. They complained about the food. They complained about one thing after another. And they never stopped. Instead of being so grateful to God, they were gripped with a spirit of bitterness and grumbling and complaining. What happened? 2 got into the promised land. What happened to the rest? They died in the desert. They left Egypt, but they didn't get into Canaan. Well, just lastly, what can we learn? In verse 11 to verse 14, what do we learn, says Paul in this passage? The first thing we learn is be very, very, very careful of pride. See what it says in verse 12? Underline that if you haven't done it already. I'm sure you have. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. One of the worst things that can happen to you and to me is self-confidence. Our only confidence is in Christ, friends. Be careful. Be careful. Please forgive me if I'm wrong. But maybe someone in this church, right here this morning, you've claimed to be a Christian, and you come into church this morning, and you're playing with God. And you're playing with lust, or you're playing with sexual immorality, or you're playing with idolatry, but you claim to be a Christian. I want to say to you, my dear friend, be careful. Be careful. The second thing is that God adjusts our testings and temptations. Isn't that a wonderful encouragement to us who really know and love the Lord Jesus? No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. We hold on to that, don't we? God will hold on to His people. Why? Because God is faithful. Grace Wiley played with her pets. And then her pet bit her. And she died. All that we want to learn this morning is don't play with what is wrong. Make the governing drive in your life and for me to know Jesus and to make Him known. And don't let anything become an idol. Don't let anybody become an idol. Don't lust after anything that is not in the Word of God. Be very, very careful about grumbling and complaining. Why? Remember, of that generation who came out of Egypt, only two got in. It's a strong warning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for being with us today in the house of God, and we're just so glad to be here. Thank You also for the Bible that teaches us like this. Thank You for these months as we have just worked through Corinthians, of all that it's teaching us. And I want to listen to this passage, Lord, and I pray for my dear friends. Help us to be careful so that we don't fall along the road, so that we don't lose our love for Christ. Please help us to keep on growing, to keep on moving, to know Jesus more and to make Him known. And we ask it in the precious name of Christ.